that we all be on the same page and understand some fundamental things about rightly dividing. And I know we've, you know, you kind of like, some people are like, you're beating a dead horse here. We've been doing the rightly dividing thing over and over and over again. But I believe it's of utmost importance that you rightly divide. And I get questions, and I welcome the questions. May not have the answer, but I appreciate the fact that people want to know what's in the Bible, want to know how to understand things. Brother, would you pass these back? We'll see about getting some of them through there. That may be enough. Here, go ahead and pass all them back, and I'll give you a Nancy one. Or there you go, pass it back with it. Make sure there's enough. Yeah, just let them sew through the row if you want. So rightly dividing, I want to look at this, and I'm going to do it a little bit different. We've done something similar to this in the past, but not exactly like this. So we'll draw out our chart, and then we'll plug in the time here, Old Testament, church age. I'm going to call this Daniel's 70th week. And millennial reign. So, what I want to do is I want to plug in some Bible verses here that will help you understand. So, if I'm speaking of a certain thing that's happening in a different dispensation, you'll be able to go to this sheet and go to the Bible and figure out how that applies. And hopefully it will help you out. So when we start out looking at the Old Testament law, the Bible says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And right division is important. Now, I'm not saying we know everything about the Bible, and we know everything exactly the way God wants us all the time to understand it. Sometimes we'll learn more as we go on. Sometimes He just doesn't tell us some things. But we do what we do understand, I want to talk about, in the Old Testament, if you have that sheet, does anybody need a pen? Everybody got a pen? Okay. What I want to do is I want to plug in some the Old Testament law, Exodus 20. And then we're going to look at transferring over to the New Testament. We've talked about this quite a bit. To have a New Testament, you have to have the death of the testator. So here's the death of the testator. At Calvary. So we've got Exodus 20, the giving of the law. We've got the death of the testator. And remember, Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. So things are different after Calvary than they were before. And see if I can find my sheet here. Be much better off if I can. And there it is. So the death of the testator, New Testament, we're looking at Hebrews 9, and let's go with verse 14 through 28. So I'm going to give you all these, and you write them down, and then when you have a question about it, you can look and see where we get what we're talking about. There's just too much stuff to remember sometimes. And you say, well, I know that we've got to talk about death of the testator, don't know where it's at. So I'm going to try to clarify some of this today. So after the death of the testator, we're going to the New Testament or the church age. And the church age, you're dealing with something you never dealt with in the Old Testament, which is a body or church. People in the Old Testament, they weren't saved and placed into a body. So if you look at the Old Testament, the Old Testament saints did not go directly to heaven. They went to Abraham's bosom. And that's according to Luke 16. Lazarus and the rich man. If you want to write Luke 16, Abraham's bosom, you can look there and you can see that Abraham's bosom was in the center of the earth, and there was a gulf between it and hell. Hell and Abraham's bosom were both the center of the earth, but they were separate. So, people in the Old Testament did not die and go to heaven because they were saved. They died and went to Abraham's bosom because they were safe. I think that's the correct terminology to use. They were safe. They were in a position. They could not go to heaven until Jesus Christ died. He shed his blood and led captivity captive. And I don't remember where that's at in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4. I'm not sure where that's at, that one's at. But he led captivity captive. But you remember at the crucifixion, a lot of the Old Testament saints arose. So they seen him wandering around. And they come up because of the death of Jesus Christ. Where were they before? In Abraham's bosom, according to Luke 16. So in the Old Testament, they died and went to Abraham's bosom. In the New Testament, people die and go to heaven. And the reason they're able to do that is they're sealed and placed in a body. They become the body of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church. And I'm not going to get into the little transition period here where there was a church and then it was put in the body, became the body and all that. But you just need to know the Old Testament saints died and went to Abraham's bosom. Jesus Christ died, paid their sin debt also. And there were works involved in them getting to a safe place. But then, they couldn't go to heaven without Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Well, death, burial, the blood had to be shed. And they were resurrected with him. A lot of them Old Testament saints, it says, rose and walked around. So then in church, you have a body. They didn't have a body in the Old Testament. They weren't sealed by the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And the reason we know that is Saul had the Holy Spirit, and he lost it. David was asking God not to take the Spirit from him. So he could have lost it. In the New Testament, the Bible says we're sealed. And Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. In Ephesians 1, 1, 9 through 14. Let's look at that. Ephesians 9, 1 through 14. What did I say? Ephesians 1, 9 through 14? Okay. Ephesians 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. Now, this is not Calvinism type. This, when you get saved, you get these things. According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So it says you're sealed. Sealed for what? To the rapture. You're saved and sealed. You're set apart for that rapture time. So right there it shows you're sealed. And again, if you flip over to Ephesians 4:30, we'll look at it right out of the book. Right out of the book. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Nobody in the Old Testament was sealed. They had the Holy Spirit, they could lose it. And so we know we're sealed in the church age because we're part of his body. These people weren't promised anything about being a part of the spiritual body. They were promised a land. The Old Testament, they were looking for a physical land. And we're looking for a spiritual body or salvation in that sense. But the body of Christ starts after Calvary. And we are saved, we are sealed, we're put in Christ. There's your eternal security, being in Christ and being sealed by the Holy Spirit. And we're being sealed for this time. Rapture. When are you going to get us out of here and change us? The completed product salvation is rapture. Right now you're saved and sealed, waiting for the rapture. And the rapture, according to 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. And we're waiting for the battle. We're waiting to come back with Jesus Christ, the Battle of Armageddon, after that. And that's, that's Revelation 19, I believe. Yeah, Revelation 19. And also Zechariah 12 and 13, Isaiah 63. These are just a few places to look to find that. It's all over the Bible, talking about the second coming of Christ. But these are just a few places that, and the reason I picked these places, when you get into Zechariah and Joel and Isaiah and stuff like that, you're like, I don't know what to talk about here. But you realize after you look at the New Testament, realize in the Old Testament we're talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, just given different details. So really God's created this puzzle for the Jews, and they're going to be able to look. I mean, ours was pretty clear. We're not even a people. We're a mess. So God just gave us some real clear, you need to get saved. But the Jews, they're kind of looking for this Messiah, and God's put a puzzle together for them, and they look at the New Testament and the Old Testament together. You look at Revelation 19 and Zechariah 12 and Isaiah 63 and Isaiah 53. It starts really coming together. And I believe that's the reason that the devil doesn't want the Jews to read Isaiah 53, and most churches don't want anybody to read the Bible. Is that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's it going to make you free from? Sin, hell, and man. Religion. So the Old Testament saints went to Abraham's bosom, Luke 16. The Old Testament law is given in Exodus 20. Deuteronomy, of course, is second giving of the law, but mainly Exodus 20. The death of Jesus Christ, Hebrews 9, 14 through 28, the death of the testator. And his blood is what starts the New Testament. So we're in the New Testament church age. And again, the reason I just don't blanket this as the age of grace is God's always shown grace. He showed grace to Adam. He showed grace to Noah. He showed grace on down the line. So I don't like to just say this is the age of grace, like God never showed grace before. But this is a church age. The church age is obviously different than the Old Testament, because Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. And when you accept Jesus Christ, it's fulfilled on your account. His fulfillment of the Old Testament was applied to your account. So the body starts at the church. Ephesians 4:30, Ephesians 1:19-14 tells us that we're sealed. And we know we're looking for the rapture according to 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're not going to get into a whole bunch about the judgment seat of Christ. We believe that we go up here, we're at the judgment seat of Christ, we're prepared for the bridegroom, marriage supper of the Lamb, we come back, the battle of Armageddon. But then we have a 1,000-year reign. Jesus Christ reigns for 1,000 years on the throne of David. And 1,000-year reign on the throne of David, according to Luke, Revelation 19 and 20, I believe, the end of 19 and end of 20, we can see that. Well, it's just Revelation 20. They show the millennial reign. Other places, too. I'm just talking about clear places. And it does talk about on the throne of David. So Abraham's bosom, those people were led free after the death, burial, and resurrected with Christ. New Testament church age, the body begins and is sealed. You're sealed in Christ. But you had to have the death of the testator. It just makes sense. His body had to be broken before there could be a spiritual body, and the blood had to be shed before the atonement could be made for your sins. So Daniel's 70th week, that time for, and the reason we know it's a time for the Jews is according to Daniel chapter 9, it's a time appointed to Daniel's people, and Daniel's people are the Jews. And it's also called the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is Israel. Boy, I'm writing upside down now. It's the time of Jacob's troubles, and it's appointed to Daniel's people. So this 7-year stretch, the 70th week of Daniel, is appointed to Israel, Jacob. Jacob's called Israel. And then the millennial reign, of course, Jesus Christ rules and reigns with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. And then we had the Battle of Gog and Magog. That's give you definite verses on that, so you can check it out too. Revelation 20. Okay, Revelation 20, verses 7 through 10 or so. So Revelation 20, 7 through 10 talks about the Battle of Gog and Magog, and then you go right into at the end here, you go into the great white throne judgment. And that's for the judgment of the lost of all generations and the people in different dispensations after the church age. Saved it different ways. So the great white throne judgment, and then after that, eternity. We ran out of time. We're on into eternity, sister. I am, but it's not a full explanation of dispensations, but it's the basic dispensation. So the full dispensations would start with Adam and Eve, and they're the innocence, age of innocence. And then you got human government and conscience and all the different words. Conscience, human government, law, grace, our church age, tribulation, millennial reign, on into eternity. But I think we went over that a while back. We'll probably deal with that again. I just don't really want to dig down into the necessarily much about the different 7-8 different dispensations, because the main thing is to know there's a difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. And when people say there's no difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, well, you can say, well, there's a difference the way God dealt with Noah and God dealt with Adam. How could there not be a difference between, you know what I mean, Brother Bill? Yeah, according. They were in hell, according to Luke 16. No, in the Old Testament, they either went to Abraham's bosom. In the Old Testament, it appears they either went to Abraham's bosom or they went to hell. In Luke 16, it talks about Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus is in heaven, the rich man's in hell, and they're both. And then Jesus Christ, God leads them captive, leads captivity captive. He gets them out of that. They're in that safe place, that holding place, if you will, which is probably kind of where the Catholic view of purgatory came from, but there is no purgatory. That was done away with, that system was done away with at the cross anyway. But it wasn't purgatory. They weren't hoping they were going to get out. They were waiting for the safe. They'd done enough, they were righteous enough to get to a safe place. But still, they weren't righteous enough to get to heaven. The only one that was righteous enough to get into heaven, Jesus Christ, still had to die for them. So I don't want to discount what Jesus Christ did for anybody. The Old Testament saints, if they could have got to heaven without Jesus Christ, they'd have went to heaven. But they went to Abraham's bosom. And then he died, shed his blood. I believe probably they didn't all understand any of what was going on, but he preached to them. And they said, we're with you. We believe you. Because remember, the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. So he physically is showing himself to Jews. Going, look. Now, he probably preached to them about Isaiah 53. He may even give them some New Testament. I don't know. But those Jews were let out of there by him. Those folks in the Old Testament were let out of there by him. His blood had to be shed, no matter how you look at it, for people to get to heaven. That's my belief. I believe that's what the Bible shows. Oh, I made a mess of this thing. I was going to say take a picture of it. Then you need a Google Translator or something. But. So I really wanted to go over that during church service because a lot of folks can't make Sunday school, and I get a lot of questions. And I figured if you could write this down on your paper, and then you have a question about it, you can go home and look at your Bible and look at two or three verses on it. That'll help you. And then the next time we talk about it, maybe you'll understand a little more. Just like I hope I understand a little more every time we talk about it, amen. But here's the thing. There are differences in the way God, what God expected of people at different times. He never told Noah, don't eat the fruit. He told Adam, don't eat the fruit. He tells us after salvation not to mess around with stuff we're not supposed to mess around with. It's just a type of that. But it's all the blood of Christ. We could get into some really fun stuff here. The Bible's an amazing thing to study. And I'll tell you, if you got the right one, it's even more amazing. And the reason is, I personally believe, and a lot of folks that believe, and I believe it's correct, that was not an apple, it was a grape. And that God refers to grapes as grapevines as trees in the Bible. it's like the whale and the fish. We say it's a vine, he says it's a tree. Well, the tree with the vines, it's both, but he refers to it as a tree. And the reason I say it's a grape is grape juice, new wine, grape right out of the cluster, is a type of the blood of Christ. It's unfermented. We know fermented and leavened are bad. Unleavened bread, fermented wine. So unleavened bread is the unsinned flesh of Jesus Christ. Unleavened or unfermented grapes is a type of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's another reason that a lot of these religious systems use alcohol in their services to try to say it's Jesus' blood, because they're trying to spit in the face of Jesus Christ. He had pure blood and he had pure bread. There was no sin connected to it. So that grape is the new wine is out of the cluster. That's what the Bible says, from the cluster, is a type of the blood of Christ. Fermented wine is a type of the blood of man. Unleavened bread is a type of the body of Christ. Leavened bread is a type of the body of man. It's all because of sin. Sin is connected to fermented grapes, leavened bread. And yeast is connected to both those things, right? And what's yeast do? Puffs up. It puffs up. So Jesus, he wasn't even puffed up. He should have. He wouldn't have been puffed up because he would have been the right size. He wouldn't have been full of hot air. But he did. He come humble in humility as a person, the being with perfect blood and perfect flesh. And that's why he could save your soul. Kingdom of God?
Yeah.
Well, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, we're looking at two different things. We're looking at a spiritual kingdom versus a physical kingdom. Well, when he tells them to come eat, feast on the kings of the earth, the flesh and stuff like that, he says, I'm not sure either. Yeah, he's talking to the Jews there too, so that's something totally different.
I don't know.
Yeah, and since ours is more spiritual and physical, I'm tending to believe that it's heaven. But then when he calls it the Great Supper, when the fowls are eating the kings of the earth and stuff, that's... Yeah, but he's dealing with Jews. He's not dealing with a brider mentality where people that get saved here, some are a bride and some aren't. If you're saved in a church age, you're part of the bride of Christ. But there's a and there's even a church in this town that believes that. Baptist church that believes that if you're part of that local church, you're part of the bride. But if not, you're a guest at the wedding, or, you know, but that's not what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter number 5 defines the church as the bride and the bride as the church, and it gives the analogy between the husband, wife, and Christ and the church. So if you're part of the church, you're part of the bride. And if you're part of the body, you're part of the church. There are verses in there that call the body the church and call the bride the body. You just have to ignore the Bible to think that some people are saved to be the bride in the church age and some people are saved to be guests. That's pride.
Yeah, I thought
to you
about that church. We're gone.
Yeah.
He was talking, they are, but then if you're invited, if they they're invited to the wedding.
Yeah.
Or they're invited.
Well, that's right. But my point is, a lot of people don't rightly divide. We'll say, well, see here, some people are and some people aren't part of the bride. Well, like you said, we're already out of here. So he's talking to people in a different dispensation. He's talking to different people. So, yeah. Well, it's a totally different system. If it's not different, then you got a mess on your hands. You got a Bible that makes no sense if it's not divisions between the Jew and the Gentile after church and before church. Before the church age, the Gentiles could get in, but they had to get in through a Jewish system. And afterwards, it's going to be the same similar situation. I'm not saying exactly the same, but very similar works involved. And see, Jesus Christ is not saving them and leading them to heaven. He's saving them and leading them into a kingdom. At that point, at the end of the tribulation, they're enduring to the end for a physical salvation, most of them. So there's a really, it gets really messy when people don't rightly divide. I mean, we run into roadblocks at rightly dividing. You go, I don't know where this fits or that fits. But if you don't rightly divide at all, you've got nothing. I mean, nothing fits. It's just a big alphabet soup. You just try to pull letters out and stick them somewhere. You have to rightly divide. You have to understand at least this. There's a difference between here and here. At least. And if you do believe there's a difference between here and here, and the Bible shows that, then you can see how it's got to be different after the church age, because the body leaves. And the body only exists in the church age. Right? So, I mean, it has to be different afterward. I don't believe these people over here, other than the ones God physically seals, are sealed. But he physically seals them. Why? Because he's dealing with physical things. He's got away from the spiritual and back to the physical. There's always a spiritual aspect, but the primary is the physical. It's on a land and a people and a purpose for a physical kingdom. Right now, we're part of a spiritual kingdom. So, a lot of folks want to say, well, we're bringing in the kingdom. We're in the kingdom now. Well, we're part of a spiritual kingdom, but that physical kingdom is different, and we're not bringing it in. Not, well, kind of are. The world's setting the stage for it, but God's not going to go, well, I'm so happy with you and everything's so great, I just want to come back. That's what the Southern Baptists have bought into and a lot of different denominations have bought into. We're going to get so good that God's just going to have to come down and hang out with us. No, we're getting so messed up, he's going to have to come down and fix it. And that's just the way it is. I mean, you can't watch 5 minutes. I wouldn't watch the news anyway, but you can't watch 5 minutes of that and believe that things are getting better. I mean, it's crazy. And man's getting worse and worse. So there goes your evolution theory about things getting better and better. Things are falling apart. The laws of thermodynamics are showing up everywhere. Things go to randomness and disorder. And, you know, you can talk about the conservation of energy or whatever. Okay, I believe that, because the energy comes from God, can go back to God. But he started it. He started it. And he's going to finish it. That's kind of my point with the King James Bible, too. I think that should be our standard instead of us here today being our standard, like I say, because, and I respect the fact that, you know, sometimes if you use this word instead of that word, it's not a big deal to us in understanding, but it's a big deal to God. And it's a majestic thing. You wouldn't go up to the president, well, I mean, any more people probably would. Any more they probably would, but let's say some president that commanded respect, like Reagan. I'm going to use him because I think he's a good guy. Probably even saved. But 99% of the people in the world wouldn't have went up there and said, "Hey, Ronnie, what's going on, man?" They would have said, "Mr. President, how are you?" You know, and been respectful and used different. Wouldn't have talked the same way they did at home or out on the street. And that's what God deserves. He deserves a higher level of communication than we are capable of. I think it's right now we can make up a million excuses for, I hate to say going ghetto on God, but that's almost like what people want to do. It's like they want to create God, they want to turn God into the image of man and pretend like he's like us. He is nowhere like us. Nowhere. He was a lot like Adam until Adam fell, because God made Adam in his image. Then Adam started having kids in his own fallen image. Here we are, getting worse and worse and worse, waiting for the rapture. When I say wait for the rapture, it's not just because of the world. I want to wait for me too. I can't wait until, no matter what I do, say, or think is right. It's right. I'll be like Christ. So that's a basic division. I want to give you a couple verses on these things and the reason we believe what we believe. So when I say we, the Old Testament says for Abraham's wisdom, you can go to Luke 16 and read it. When I say the Old Testament law was given in Exodus 20, and it was given to Israel, and you can do a little further search and find out that the Sabbath was given to Israel as a sign for Israel, it's for the Jews. It wasn't for the Seventh-day Adventists. And we don't replace the Jews because of Romans chapter 11 and Revelation 7 and 14. That shows we don't replace the Jews. Romans 11 says God's finished with the Jews until the fullness of the Gentiles. Blindness in part till the fullness of the Gentiles. Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 14 is talking about 144,000 male Jewish virgins. 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. So he's not through with Israel. He wouldn't be dealing with Israel in the Revelation 7 and 14. Right? And if he was through with Israel, why would he even talk about the throne of David again? Because David was the king of Israel. And he will be again. He will be again.